Hello, Christmas week.
No.
Hey.
Fuck's sake.
I should play a tune.
I don't know why I went.
I have my phone on me. How's it going?
Not so bad. Not so bad. Christmas gigs and all that.
I'm gonna take this off. I just left my coat on. This is my Luther coat.
Yeah. I spotted it.
That wee guy gave me a compliment about this in Sainsbury's last night.
Somebody gave you a compliment on your coat?
Yeah. We got in Sainsbury's. I'll tell you why I was in Sainsbury's in a minute, but he said, I really like your coat. Where did you get it? It's nice when you get that wee kind of boost.
It's never happened to me.
No, I'm not surprised.
I wore this jumper because I was like, this one looks as close to Christmas as I actually have, but it's not a Christmas jumper.
Unless you're hanging about with shepherds, I don't imagine they would ever compliment your clothes.
Shepherds.
This is my favourite Christmas jumper because it's a Christmas cardigan and it's got it's got bells.
Oh, I hear you coming like a cat.
At the nipples. Yeah.
It'll stop you hunting birds again. Come to the back door.
Are you aware of this thing with like cardigans and waistcoats particularly, where you don't do the bottom button? Henry VIII thing.
What the fuck? What?
Do you not know this?
What?
So, it's the same with jackets as well. Do the bottom button.
I've heard... You told me this.
Aye.
You told me this at fucking Daniel's wedding.
So it did, yeah.
You did, and I caused the whole scene about it. Yeah, what is it?
I think it's to do with Henry VIII, because he was a fat guy, and he would never do... He could never do the bottom button. So now, tradition is, you just don't do it. And it looks better. But generally, if you look at everyone, like, Bond never does the bottom button.
Bond.
And that's how you base
everything.
I treat every...
Bond do this?
I base everything. How I dress, how I treat women.
What would Bond do in this situation?
As it's our Christmas week as well, we're doing a double episode today.
Yeah, because we're away, yeah.
We're away with family, so we're going to do this. And you've got a Christmas party tonight as well.
I do have a Christmas party.
Yeah. So, woo! So it's 10 o'clock in the morning just now, and we're going to start drinking.
Can I just also add something?
There's only a can just to keep things going.
Right, so 10 a.m., we're going to have to start drinking, right? Mm. But also, I'll have to, after recording this and thing, I'll have to edit the videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But when I edit, I always like smoke a joint. So I'm going to be rightly...
Well, Ryan, for fuck's sake.
I'm going to be...
Illegal. You're going to get shut down. The narcs are already on us. Do you know what I've got to do after this?
Yeah.
Right? I've got to... For anyone that doesn't know, I also host a radio show on Radio Scotland called The Good, The Bad and The Unexpected, right? We are recording two episodes for the next series to get ahead of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So after this, I've got to go and do a basic panel show with Richie from Five and Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols. So your editing sounds fucking class.
Yeah, in fairness, yeah, I can just go and sit there. But mind you, what a combo.
They're not in the same episode, which would have been amazing.
Oh, I thought that you were going to think, but still, that's still wild.
It is pretty good. Every year, because we used to be mostly comics we would get that were kind of based in Scotland and some from London. But then when the pandemic happened, because everyone was doing stuff on Zoom, we realised, fuck, we can pretty much get most people. So some of the guests we get are fucking wild. And every year, the producers, Rich, asks me, who do you fancy getting on? So we tried to get Tim Burgess from The Charlatans.
Yeah.
And to be fair to him, he got back to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, like, it's not really my thing, but... And Richard said Mark's a huge Charlatans fan, and he'd said, tell Mark all the best, and if he ever wants to come to a Charlatans gig, let me know. So I was like, fuck, this is even better than him being on.
Yeah.
Every year they ask me who I want on. My ideal, who I've suggested for this series, the ideal one would be Suggs from Madness.
Yeah.
Ali McCoist.
Yes.
And Jet from The Gladiators.
Jet.
That's the episode I want to do.
Dirty Den.
Dirty Den? He's still alive.
Is he?
I don't know.
I don't know. I only knew him because I used to love Fort Bayard.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you remember Fort Boyard?
Melinda Messenger in it as well.
They had a little midget run around, open the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Leslie Grantham.
That's it, yeah.
Did he get done wanking his car, or did he say, did not send a video where he was like, he's basically like sucking his finger or something and having a wank or something? There's definitely something.
Off his car?
No.
Seagulling.
I think he got, is that what seagulling is?
Seagulling's when you're out dogging and you blow your load on the car. So it's like car.
Is that not just dogging?
Like a seagull shat on the car.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. But I thought,
I only learned that last night. John Pearson told me.
Only learned last night, mate.
That's some background. I did it. Because it happened, all right.
No, because is dogging where you have sex in a car for strangers to watch?
I think you can have, I think you can have sex with the strangers as well.
Right.
And don't bring your baby. Back of a hot car.
God, that would be awful. If you went to a dog inside and you were just ripping it to a couple shacking in the front, and then you just looked and their whole family was in the back.
On Game Boys, just.
Oh, God.
Radio turned up.
Oh, the grimmest looking image possible.
Merry Christmas to all the absolute cuts fans.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, I also, the reason I was in Sainsbury's was I was trying to find eggnog. So, I don't know if you've ever had eggnog.
I think I had it years ago. I don't remember, but I think I had it for like the facts videos, the try videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in the day.
I've always liked the look of it.
I can't remember it.
Whenever I see it in American Christmas films, always, because they've always got a big bowl of it, and it's got like rum and shit in it.
I tell you what throws me off is the fact that it comes in like a carton.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, how long? And it doesn't look like it's kept in the fridge.
No.
It's one of those ones where like, it's just on a dry shelf. Dry place, just a carton of fucking thick,
the only place.
Like, how long does that keep?
Because I've seen it, like, because a load of American folk had, because I'd put it up on the internet saying, where can I get eggnog? And they'd said, oh, you go into any grocery store and you'll find it. And I was like, but remember, I'm in Britain. And the only place I could find it was...
then why are you asking me? Is that what they said?
Basically, yeah. And the only place... They said there was one Lidl in Glasgow that apparently had it, but there was none when I went in.
And
I checked in Sainsbury's. I could get it off Amazon, but it wasn't going to arrive in time. And again, if Amazon are delivering it,
this is
supposed to be I'm assuming a cold drink.
Aye.
But also it's got cream in it.
Been stuck in the Suez Canal for 6 years.
Aye. So,
yeah.
But it wouldn't come in time.
Came out bloppy.
So instead of that, I've got us...
The
devil's milk.
The devil's milk.
They are all
salted caramel and all.
Satan's spunk here.
La-dee-da.
So,
oh, God.
Yeah, salted caramel as well.
I fucking love Baileys. I absolutely... It's great for like having around, you know, instead of an alternative sometimes to whiskey, if you're at a music festival and have a little flask of Baileys. Oh, sweet Jesus. You're just like, you know, when you have too much, you want to keep drinking, but you're like, this is too rough. You're in the in-between part where you're like, oh, beer's too rough. Whiskey, just give me an hour.
Sipping on
a Baileys going, this is good for my stomach. It's probably actually way worse for your stomach.
Oh, it'd be terrible for your stomach.
Do you remember the first time I met John Hastings? Mm-hmm. He's like, why do you keep drinking Baileys? And I had like three Baileys in this thing. And I go, you want to see a man take Baileys? And then I drank like 15.
Shots of it? Or like,
yeah, like in the thing, in Abattoir. And I never knew. I didn't know him. And
just during the Fringe?
Aye. And he was just like, by the time I was on 10, I went like this. I kept going like another Baileys. And he just kind of went, I'm not part of this bit. I don't care. And I drank so much, I ran around the corner and puked everywhere. Because it was Baileys. Like, I drank like a two bottles of Baileys. And then,
Jesus Christ.
And he was just like, what was that about? And I go, you know. Sometimes you just got to commit.
Do you remember the footballer, the Italian footballer, Lorenzo Amoruso?
I do. Yeah. Rangers, didn't he?
Played for Rangers. He was addicted to Baileys. He went to rehab.
For Baileys?
For addiction to Baileys.
Oh, fuck off. I would turn them around at the rehab center. I'd be like, come back when you got a real problem.
I mean, he would like tan pints of Baileys. Pints of it.
That's fucking horrific.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah, the only other one I've ever heard. Remember the band Keane?
I fucking hate it.
Right. I didn't mind Keane.
Keane are just boring.
Remember the big moon-faced cunt that was like their lead singer. I better fucking stop speaking about people last week because there's a good chance he'll be coming on the radio show at some point. But
so Moonface,
the good, the bad, and the Moonface. He had an addiction to port.
Okay, it's, I mean,
that's a rich addiction. That, like, that's proper. Well, aye, that's gout.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm addicted to sherry.
Yeah, nice. That's Henry VIII kind of shit, that, like.
Yeah, he unbuttons his. He unbuttons the bottom of his pyjamas.
How were the Christmas gigs?
Oh, yeah, well, I was in Nottingham this weekend. They were wild, but they just kept on the side of good. But, like, anything else would have just very quickly turned very bad very quick. Yeah, yeah.
Tell the audience the woman filming you, because I think it's very, very, very funny.
Jesus Christ. There's a woman in the middle of it, and she was interrupting everyone. She was one of the worst of them, right? And she's only a few rows back, and she's sitting there, and she's with her boyfriend, and she goes, I can hear her muttering, going, like, laughing at some of the jokes a lot. Mm. And then 30 seconds later, going, this guy's terrible. And anytime I did an abortion, I said something. I go, my friend's black, and she goes, "Oh, Grey's, you're racist." And I was like, that's nowhere near the punchline. Not even. I just said the word black, yeah. Right? Oh, great, he's a racist too. And then she takes out her phone, right? She obviously wants to be. She's so hammered, but she thinks she's going to be a part of a viral video, and you can tell because she's like, and starts sitting up a bit, and her boyfriend's sitting beside her, like, "Oh, fuck's sake." So I was like, "Are you filming me?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I was like, it's mad that no, like, bouncers running or jumping in here. They just go, "Hey, can you stop doing that?" Mm-hmm. And then she goes, "When does the comedy start?" And I was like, "When you try fitting in that dress." She lost it. They broke up mid-show.
Yeah.
She ran out singing. He sat there embarrassed, but also didn't follow her. That's and then a 5 minutes right. later went on, 5 minutes and more into the set came out, and she bushed back into the room. Ran over and, like, grabbed the coat that she obviously had forgotten and went.
No.
And walked back out.
Oh, I love when you hear, can overhear audience members say shit. When it just goes quiet, and somebody said, I had it about 2 months ago where there was an old couple. It was just like, I was trying all new material and stuff as well. And they were just muttering all the way through, and they clearly couldn't stand me. And there was at one point where it went quiet because the rest of us were enjoying it. And I think I said something like, "Here's how I think we should solve the climate crisis." And I just heard the woman go, "Oh, here we fucking go."
I love that. Oh, fuck me. I knew this would come up.
It's so funny, man.
Yeah, I can hear that sometimes when I do, when I mention the trans bit.
Oh, yeah.
You just say the word and you hear a few people go, "Oh, fucking trans." And I'm like, Jesus.
I haven't even heard the joke. I was with Tom Houghton.
How was he?
As well. He was good. He did really well. I was worried for him in a Glasgow Christmas gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But nah, I wasn't really worried. I thought I knew he'd do it. He was more worried than
anyone else. That's because you can get into his head.
They were actually really, really nice at the Glee.
When you're doing, like, oh, he's like, "Oh, I'm doing Belfast," and I'm like, "Woof."
Yeah.
Woof. Change your everything. you'd be back sent to your dad in a wee fucking
wee box
with a Union Jack pissed on. Folded up on top of it.
I've bought two tuxedos this week.
Why? What, the movie and another one?
Jackie Chan. I always get dressed up, and me and my family always really get dressed up on Christmas Day. And I'd seen, so my wee boy had got my wife had found like an H&M or something, like a kid's white tuxedo, and he wore it to his Christmas dance.
He looks like the wee dude from Fantasy Island.
Yeah, he looked fucking class, man. And I was getting him to do Bond lines and shit like this. And then I was like, I'm going to get one of them as well. So then I went online and I got one. And then I found another one that was burgundy red. I filmed a TV show yesterday.
In a burgundy red tuxedo.
Because it was breaking the news, but it was their year review.
We tray of anchovies.
Yeah, but, like, I thought, oh, well,
that'd be good, yeah.
Everyone will dress up. Nah, just me.
That's better though sometimes.
Everyone else made a bit of an effort. But
yeah, did they look at you and go, oh, right?
Oh, it was noticeable that I
can't come out here and they blow us out of the water.
Yeah.
I don't even own good clothes.
No, I can't think of anything you own I'd wear.
Yeah, I'm not even offended by that. I just do not give a shit.
Some of your football tops are all right.
You see, this is people get upset. Then. They're like, why are you wearing football tops? I've got some old funky football tops. That's it.
Do you know what pisses me? Right, before we start the film, right? I don't like that. It's like a proper.
You see you. I'm all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
I just touched
the Bailey's. Yeah, here's the fucking problem with you know how we it annoys us quite a lot when people get really wanky and like self righteous about and like almost like making out like not liking football is a personality.
Oh. It's just a fucking kicking an air ball.
Aye, you know, though,
reduce everything to fucking.
Oh, when they do that thing whenever.
Oh, Titanic, just to put people dying.
Yeah. Whenever they do that thing, whenever the World Cup's on and the Euros are on, and they'll always do that thing going, ooh, what's happening in the kicky ball today? Like, fuck it,
well,
right, okay,
fine. Well, check everything. Aye, it's on the news.
Like, right, cool, you don't like it. Personally, I feel sad for you because it's awesome. Yeah. And the emotion that some people are feeling over this is incredible. So fucking get over yourself. I also hate people that go, grown men, people that say like anyone over the age of like 8 wearing a football top is ludicrous.
Ah, yeah.
I don't see any problem with an adult wearing a football. If you're going, I'm not saying you go to a fucking wedding wearing one or a job interview. If you're going to the game.
Unless it's a job interview at the football club.
No, that's needy. That's keen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I do. Keen number 8. A lot of Keen references. Roy Keen. Very much Keen. Keen the band.
Moonface.
Moonface himself.
I hate people. I think if you're hanging out at the house, you can wear. What would you see if you were a coach or if you were a manager? What closing type manager would you be?
Well, first
would
you be of
all, a trackie or a suit or a pep?
Oh, I mean, I feel like, you know. See, I can't do the turtleneck now.
No.
I can't. Pep's done it.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
I'd go toe-to-toe for him, trophy-wise, but I don't think
Not clothing-wise.
Fuck, I don't know. I'm in a real trouble there because I look really stupid in a tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wear suits.
Mm-hmm.
And even with the thing, I'm too thin for like turtlenecks.
Yeah,
you know? I wouldn't be. It's not. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd look like Stanley Tucci.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't.
You could just do a shirt and a long coat. That's quite a.
Yeah,
that's a decent.
You know what? A mod.
Yes, that'd be class.
Why not?
Have you
seen Tommy DeVito? The New York Giants guy.
Danny's brother.
Yeah, we all checked. Everyone checked. So a guy, a lot of quarterbacks got injured in New York, and Tommy DeVito, this guy's name is, lives with his mom, young guy from like, you know, Italian American, right? But his thing ended up on the side of the pitch, his agent. And I gotta show you what this guy looks like. If you don't think it's Tommy DeVito and his agent. That's Tommy DeVito's agent.
Good God.
It's the most Italian-American guy.
Jesus Christ. He looks like Lucky Luciano. Like,
yeah, I can't even, you know, you can zoom in. Right. You can't zoom in because you're just going to be watching it on YouTube. Tommy DeVito's agent, it's side thing. It's got a full on.
He looks like incredible.
Looks like Inspector Gadget.
He does look like Inspector Gadget.
Google Gadget touchdown.
Right. This week's film, as it is Christmas, the week of Christmas. I thought it's my pick, so I would pick, in my view, the greatest Christmas film of all time. Not just the greatest Christmas film of all time, one of my favourite films of all time. This might be, I know we never set out to ever have this podcast being like proper geeky, film nerdy shit. This might be as nerdy as I get, because I know a lot about this film.
Okay.
About the backstory, everything to do with it. It's that's not easy to say. It is. The film is It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
And you know what, Ryan? Sometimes I think it is a wonderful life, isn't it?
I find the premise completely unrelatable. What? I tell you what, I didn't have a wonderful fucking time watching it.
Did you? Oh, God. Right, this might be the end of it then.
So I'm delighted that we've managed to come across a film that we completely... I just couldn't be flying fuck with this.
Yes!
Whatsoever.
Amazing.
I remember it when I was a kid and going, well, this bored me to tears. And then I remember watching it, and I watched it this time, and I don't give a flying fuck about any of this.
Oh, this is gonna be
right down the middle. Because we actually, I just kind of thought about this even when I was watching this, because I know, because you put a tweet about it, and I go, oh, it's gonna be a podcast and a half this.
Do you not find it genuinely life affirming?
I found it fuck all. I thought he was a wanker. I thought he was a total wanker.
George Bailey's a wanker.
I was on the Potter's dude side. That Potter dude. Nothing. Even the part where they came out and they were like, this is Pottersville. You know when he's getting like the whole... I was like, fuck me, Pottersville looks good.
Yeah, that is a point. Like, I will agree
we'll,
with you.
We'll get there.
If you don't see the film, like it basically is about a guy called George Bailey. It was played by James Stewart. And it follows him through his life. It starts off with him living in a town called Bedford Falls, where he there's a lot of people praying for him because shit's gone wrong in his life, and he's gonna kill himself. And he's sent a guardian angel, and then you follow him through his life. You see everything he's done for everyone else. You see all the sacrifices he's made. How none of his life, because he's got huge ambitions, none of his life has panned out the way he wanted it
to.
That
part was pretty funny.
Yeah. And then at the end, through no fault of his own, he ends up staring down the barrel of absolute financial ruin, potential jail time, and he realizes because of his life insurance, he'd be worth more value to his family dead than he would be alive. So he goes... tries to commit suicide, but then a guardian angel is sent down, Clarence, who...
Yeah, not one of the good ones.
Then has to... he's not got his wings yet. Then he has... So he shows... He's trying to convince him not to commit suicide, and then George Bailey basically says, I wish I'd never been born. So he shows him what life would have been like had he never been born. And it lets him see how many lives he's touched, how much he has changed his community, how much he's done for other people, and how much they rely upon him. And then George Bailey realizes that he's actually had a wonderful life after all, and he wishes to live again.
Do you think if he went up to heaven, right, after the movie?
I'm going to get so fucking angry over this.
And they just went, you know, they just went, there's one thing though, George, I know we did that whole look back in your life thing or what would happen thing, yeah. But... and you don't know what I'm talking about because of this, but also 9/11 wouldn't have happened.
Fuck's sake.
There was enough cogs turned.
Do you know if we ever get, right? See those wee road soundboards?
9/11?
Wee jingles, right? We're going to get one 9/11. For the wee horny guy. And then whenever you mention 9/11, I'm just going to press, it'll be a sound effect of just a building crashing.
It was a massive world event.
It was. You can't equate it to a fucking film in 1945.
Oh, is that when this was made?
1945.
Fucking hell. Now, I will say this as a disclaimer. It would be stupid to say this is a bad film. It's not.
Yeah, it would be, because it's not.
It's just shite.
It's not shite.
It's not shite. It's not shite. But it's not a good... Do you know I walked in
this
there?
This is what it's going to be like when we do Pretty Woman. How much you love that.
Did you know I came in and Cara, you know, loves Christmas films. She's all interested. Like, oh, what film's today? Christmas film? I go, It's a Wonderful Life. And she went, fuck's sake.
Cara did that, did she? Well, I'll have some fucking words for her when I get back in that house as well.
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, oh God, I mean, I can't just put on fucking Home Alone, man.
We've done Home Alone.
I know, but that's what most people say when you're like, why would you choose this? Do you watch Jesus of Nazareth at Easter as well? Or do you just watch Harry Potter like a normal person? Fucking, we've moved on. Well, it's just a Christmas carol, really, isn't it? But
no, it's not. It's nothing like a Christmas carol.
Well, you know, instead of a ghost.
It's literally nothing like
a
Christmas
carol.
A wee
ghost comes and shows him what life's
going
to be.
Well, first of all, he's not a ghost. He's an angel. Oh, so you can fucking stick that up your ass, right? He's not getting shown. At no point does Ebenezer Scrooge. He gets shown shit in the past, right? That doesn't happen in this. So
it would have been good if it was made about Muppets. A Muppets, It's a Wonderful Life.
That, you know what? That would be good, yes.
Yeah, yeah, that would be
good. It would be good. See what fucking annoys me, right? You're of that ilk of
people. I know what you're going to say.
It's a black and white film. It's old film.
We've done a black and white film, have we not?
Fucking grippy yourself. No, we've not. I don't think we have.
I was about to go, wait a minute. I'll watch Blade in black and white. Is it not? Maybe it was black and white, but they did it up in color. Sting's only 70.
Sting was always in color, yeah.
Oh well, there you go.
You can watch this.
Do watch black and white films.
No, you don't.
You
don't. Lehane. Do you know why? Because you're thick as fuck.
Lehane's black and white.
Lehane's black and white. Yeah, but you would rather it. I know you would rather it in color.
Not true.
Yes, it is.
That's not true.
You love the film.
Do you know what I like black and white? Magenders.
You love American History X, apart from the black and white bits. I've seen you
skip forward.
Fast forward them on.
What would the film be about, just?
The fuck's going on. You're like...
There's not one single pass thing in the past.
Why is there no explanation for this behaviour at all?
Neo-Nazi really turned his life around for no reason. That'd be great. Yeah, I hate the way he talks.
Why?
You know,
hate the way James Stewart, one of the greatest, most charismatic actors of all times, talks. I hate the way you fucking talk.
Oh, Jesus, Lucy.
I still do this.
Oh, Jesus, Lucy.
You're fucking whiny.
What do you want me to do? I ain't got no cash. There's nothing I can do.
He's not a fucking gold prospector for Christ. Oh, bad Jimenez.
Well, gee, Jenny, I ain't got no cash for you and the kids.
Oh, goddamn you, Potter.
I wanted to be someone.
What? You're now drifting in an accent.
You can't handle the truth. They're just doing the wrong movie quotes. We're going to need a bigger boat.
I propose that this is the darkest film we have ever done.
It is. Because I cut myself during it. Not right. Okay, right.
Because we've done, Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty dark.
Yeah.
Battle Royale, pretty dark.
Forgot about that, yeah.
But this film, right, this film deals with, first of all, there's a kid is killed very, very early on, right? The pharmacist's son.
Is that the one that goes under the ice?
No, he nearly dies.
I'll get into that in a second, right? What is the pharmacist?
Pharmacist's son gets done for a... He gets the flu and dies because he's got the telegram. Then there's the beating of a child by a drunk. Then there is the beating of the child by a drunk because he's almost poisoned another child.
Yes.
Right? There is suicide... There's financial ruin.
Yeah.
There's capitalism fucking over the normal man.
Yeah.
There is hints at Winston Potterville, someone being driven to prostitution.
Yeah.
It's a dark, dark fucking film.
Yes, there was. Yeah. I enjoyed my favorite part of the film was how good he acted being in financial panic. When everything went really badly wrong.
Yes.
Anything. Brilliant acting in that.
Yes.
That was great.
To get serious for a second.
Yeah.
Because we don't always have to bring the funny in this.
Yeah.
That scene where he's going into financial ruin and he goes home and he's with his family and he's like just basically taking it out on them.
Yeah.
And he like hugs his kid so hard, panicky. That is the best depiction of suicide I've ever seen in a film.
Why? Because the kid killed himself?
Literally can't. It's heartbreaking.
It is. Because
I've been in that situation.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking, that bit.
Dig the claws in the kids.
Yes. And the fact that it's such a beautiful, beautiful...
It was good. I found...
He's a fucking Jimmy Stewart, for Christ's sake. He's a fucking... Also, he's a war hero. You can't take the piss out of James Stewart.
He's a war hero.
So just before this film was made, he went to...
It
was World War II, yeah. And he ran a concentration camp.
James Stewart. Hey, get them in that little... jam more into that little tub there.
Well, sure, now turn on them showers.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa, I got gold teeth coming out of my arms here.
Why are we going to wash them if we're going to kill them? James, that's not what they do.
I'm going to get out there. I'm going to run trains. I'm going to deliver people.
It's Christmas.
You know the three greatest sounds in the world? A ship's whistle, a train's whistle, and a dying Jew.
Fuck's sake. He's got cut. Oh, you got yourself caught up there, fella.
We did caught up in the barbed wire trying to get out.
But yeah, he was like, I think he flew for the Americans and like won a shitload of medals and stuff like that. Because he didn't want to make this song because he came back with like proper PTSD. He didn't know whether he wanted to be an actor anymore. He didn't know what the fuck he wanted to be because he was so messed up with some of the shit that he'd seen.
Yeah.
In World War II.
I wonder where he was stationed.
I don't know.
It'd be great. I hope it's something like...
Do you know, he was probably stationed in Ireland.
Oh, has he? Yeah.
Yeah, probably. What did you do during the war again?
We had our own
just
Nazis.
Help to the Nazis.
It is pretty...
Fucking a neutral country.
But the best thing about...
At least Switzerland had the decency to hoard gold. What the fuck did the Irish do?
You hoarded pedos.
Just fucking cowards.
We were already dealing with the English, right? We were
1940s.
Of course we were. Now, we're dealing them right up. We're still fucking dealing with the cunts. Right? I mean, it has went off a bit. Like, when I was 10 years old, it was still blowing up shops. Now it's turned to more like, how dare you claim Saoirse Ronan? The levels have dropped. But, right, when you're neutral, the thing about being neutral, though, during a world war is you have to send a letter to both to say, I'm not getting involved, you do you.
Yeah.
So that means Ireland did have to send that letter to Hitler and go, yeah you do you. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like neutral. That just seems like you're doing like, go for it, mate.
You're like the bisexuals.
Yeah.
Just can't decide what you're up to.
Can't decide.
What's the new sexual thing where you basically would shag anyone? It doesn't matter. Pansexual, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Right. Sapiosexual just means you're a cunt.
Sapiosexual?
Yeah, do you know sapiosexual? No. That's the one I draw the line on. Right. You're only attracted to ridiculously intelligent people.
All right.
I mean, you're just a cunt.
What?
You're just a cunt.
That's terrible.
That's such an elitist cunt.
That's horrible.
I'm only to people of great. I'm like, you just like hipsters pretend to be funny or pretend to be smart.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. Just wank. Sapio. If there's any sapiosexuals out there, grow up.
I consider myself pansexual.
Do you?
Because I only have sex with kitchenware.
Fuck off. Fucking panda sexual.
We got a better one. I'm pansexual. I only have sex with boys that never grow up.
Yes. There you go. Clip it.
That's how you do it, Vittorio. Back to the film.
First of all, right. This is the second film I've watched at least half an hour in the bath.
Right.
Remember I told you that I did it again because I was in Nottingham and I was like,
let's
write. Oh, I watched The Omen in the bath.
But how do you do it? Like, so what have you got?
So this time, what
an
I
iPad
did,
or?
I brought the laptop, this laptop, right? And this time there was none of the furniture to hold the laptop up fitted in the bathroom. So I had to bring in an iron board. And I set up an iron board down at its lowest setting and then had the laptop on the iron board and sat in the bath and watched at least the first half. And you know, as far as at least when they start, when the, you know, they had like the stars lightening up when they're talking like, burr, burr, and I was like, fucking, you know. We got a Christopher Nolan in here.
That bit doesn't look great. It's fucking 1945, you prick. You've never struck me as a man who takes a bath.
I haven't.
Because you don't look like
I haven't.
You don't look like you wash.
I haven't. Do you not remember what I said in the Omen one? It was like the first bath I had in like
eight
8 years. This is the second.
Wow.
It just went, fuck, there's one
in the bath.
I mean, enjoyed the two.
Right. I agree. The bit with the angels speaking as stars.
Okay, yeah.
Isn't great.
I'll give them away with that.
Special effects. But, right? This film was given an honorary Oscar.
Oh, fucking hell.
It was nominated for 5.
So didn't win a real one.
All the big ones. And then it was given a special effects Oscar because they invented a new way to make snow for films.
Oh, that's hard. That's cool. I'm into that.
Because before that, films would use basically cornflakes painted white, and that's what would be sprinkled from a machine, and it would create the crunch.
Very heavy.
but it was so. I mean, that like you fucking if you crush cornflakes in your hand, it makes a hell of a noise.
Making a ball.
Aye. So if you've got them all over the shop,
yeah.
It would be basically what they would do is before that was snow. Whenever someone they'd get the crunch with footsteps on it. But then they'd have to go back and completely redo their dialogue in a studio because it was making out. So what they did was they came up with this method of water and foam and all this kind of shit and then put it through these big fans and it came as snow.
Great. That's good. I enjoy that. Considering it's 1945 and you hear people having nightmares like Scorsese and stuff and Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Trying to make blood look all right.
Exactly.
Remember, was that orange juice or something?
Yeah, Taxi Driver?
Because he was like, I can't get the fucking thing to look.
Yeah.
So in fairness, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
And the reason it was even more difficult is they filmed this in the height of summer and it was a heat wave in LA. So the bit where he's running through the town in the snow yelling Merry Christmas to everyone was filmed in the middle of July in LA during a heat wave.
Great.
Like the actors had to take a day off after every second day of filming because they were fucking drained. They were like heat exhausted and everything.
Wow.
And filmmaking, this is also one of the biggest sets ever made. They basically built the town.
Oh, I love this.
That town has they've got I think it's something like 12 fully grown oak trees on that set. Not prop trees, actual fucking trees.
That's class.
They basically built a town.
I would tell you about a guy called Shane Brown, used to be a comedian. I was working in RT. I was doing a Republic of Telly, right? Mm-hmm. I was writing for Republic of Telly, and I went in, and a guy, Shane Brown, so you know Fair City? No?
No.
So it's like the Irish Coronation Street.
Right, okay.
Right. So, you know, like a lot of comedians sometimes could do it as well. Like Eric Lawler's in it and shit. Right. So Fair City, they have like a fake street.
Right.
You know, it's just like a fake Centra, fake bar, you know, just for filming, you know, like whatever. So they've got their fake Coronation Street type of thing, right? Shane Brown once went out and sat for an hour waiting for the bus in the fake street.
Oh, what a villain.
He tried to remember it. I remember Shane so much. I haven't seen him in 10 years, but he said it took me like an hour. I was just looking around. Where the fuck's the bus? And then he went, where the fuck's the people in the cars?
That's incredible.
He didn't realize the entire street he was on was fake. And then he'd go back out. He was waiting at a fake bus stop. He was sitting there.
That's unreal.
It's great. Sorry, I just want to.
That's very funny. But yes, I do agree with you that Pottersville does look actually class.
Yeah, they showed the flashback to Pottersville and I was like, unbelievable. Well,
the basic idea is if George had never been born, this guy Potter, who's like the villain, it's lovely, isn't it?
Love it. I love Salty Caramel too.
The villain of the film, Potter, who's like this businessman who wants to own the whole town, he's basically owns everything. But do you know what it reminded me of?
Yeah.
I've seen Back to the Future 2.
Because
Biff had the sports almanac and he owns all of Hill Valley. It's very much like that because it's just like it's just like a den of debauchery. Everywhere's a casino or a bar or a strip club.
I was
club.
Like, fuck
it's
me, it's like, getting
it does look fucking.
It looked great. He did turn it into a Vegas, but I was like, unbelievable.
Aye,
you know what is the very first scene? The very first thing that says in the film is like, he wasn't sick. He was much worse than that. He was discouraged.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck off. Fuck off. Sorry, you got fucking type 2 diabetes and quite a lack of courage. I'm like, fuck off. What the fuck are you talking about?
What did he die of? Disillusionment.
Complete disillusionment. Yeah, yeah.
There's a couple of weird things like that.
Yeah, and when, I get, you know, they
when
know.
He's, when they're, when Clarence has shown George everything that's happened because he's not been alive, and he finds out, like, so his ex-boss did poison the kid, and he went to jail. Right, so he's now like an out of jail bum, basically.
Yes, that's
alcoholic.
Right.
And then his brother never survived the falling in the lake at the start.
Yeah,
and subsequently, because his brother grows up to be a fighter pilot and a hero, he ends up shooting down like 3 Nazi planes and saving an entire transport of American troops. So they all die. Mm. The brother's dead because you see his gravestone.
Yeah, yeah.
The uncle went to a fucking lunatic asylum.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he asks, where's my wife? Where's Mary?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, she's the worst one of all. She never married. And then, how is that the worst one of all? What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, she's a spinster.
Basically, that's it. And not only that, like, she works in the library.
The fucking cat lady works in the library. She wears glasses.
She wears glasses.
That's basically it. Well, she wears glasses now. My brother's dead. My brother drowned.
The other chick.
We nearly lost the war.
The other chick's getting arrested for basically sucking off sailors. In a bar, but she's got short eyesight.
Imagine how bad things would be if you got that done and they looked at me. What do you reckon I would be? You know, if you were never born.
If I was never born.
And they showed us, and they showed me, and they're like, where's Ryan? What do you think I would be up to? If
you... Be you sitting here doing this with war?
Oh. Great. Do you know, speaking of the wee kid that died, how come, I reckon in terms of movie deaths, people going under ice is like top 5.
Aye.
How many movies have you seen where people die underneath the ice? I mean, I'm pretty sure it happens once a year in the world.
Oh no, I think it happens quite a lot.
Do you know what I would do?
What?
Right, say if someone went under the ice and you know, you're like running over the ice and then they're looking up. Mm. I'd pretend I'm underwater too, swimming down, going like, they would confuse them before they die. Like, what is the water up there too?
Oh, I don't think it happens where people slip under the ice and then they're like looking up as if it's like a window between them.
I want that.
I don't want
hypothermia. That's horrific. Boring shit.
I think people, when people fall in ice, yeah, water,
that doesn't count. I want drowning under the ice, not die of cold related complications.
I think I'm going to get one of those ice bath things, by the way, you know, the Wim Hof.
You're going to get a Joe Rogan it.
Yeah, I quite fancy it.
I reckon it's good for you, yeah.
Because I've heard, I tell you why.
Yeah, just do a wee Atlantic dip.
I'd read that it's like, it stimulates the same stuff you get off coke.
I heard this, side, but that's a
lot. But it's like all day long.
That's a load of shit, though.
See if it turns out it's not. You'll have quite the egg on your face. See if I come in here. See if I get one.
Woo!
If I buy one. Before the next episode. And I come back in here like fucking... like McConaughey at the start of Wolf of Wall Street. I'm jacked up. I'm like, fucking. Much have you taken? Not a gram. This is just me all the time now.
Oh, that'd be great. Lines of ice. Smash up some ice cubes. Keep you going.
I do think, because I am quite skeptical about it. Because when people go...
It's when they say, yeah.
Oh, I tell you what. See, when you get out of the ice, you feel great. And you go, yeah, because you're not in the ice anymore. That's why you feel fucking great.
I tried to do a bit recently as well about, like, people are in TikTok. It's always like, oh, the, you know, the best type of drugs, exercise. And you're just like, don't fucking say that.
No, it's not. It's not the best.
Type people of are drug. Sucking each other off. Although, in the streets. Any kettlebells?
Have you never had that? That high when you exercise?
Yes.
I've had it very rarely, but I remember it distinctly being in a gym once, the one time I went, and being on a treadmill and suddenly just going, oof!
Suddenly
I feel fucking great.
It is good. It's just a whole total hassle.
Yeah, it is. Oh, no, it is.
It's a total hassle, but yes, yeah. Definitely, absolutely.
Aye.
The old fucking Peloton that used to be in here.
Oh, God, aye, of course.
Yeah, that fucking, that was great.
Aye.
I only did riding with one dude. I know.
That's One-to-one?
Well, me and Alex Toussaint.
Could you speak to him?
No.
Oh, so it wasn't like a session, no?
It is, but you can't, you can't speak to them. There isn't a mic. You can't just go, oh, can I'm fucking trying.
Can they see you?
No.
No.
So it's just a class A login. They're obviously chatting the thing.
Ah, right.
There's like
right,
500,
right.
600 people racing at the same time. And then
do you race them?
You can if you want. If you go to the live ones, you just go in. There's like an entire timetable down the side of all 120 people from all over the world where they're from.
That's class.
And they'll all run. You can see. The worst thing is, though, it'll be just like F72 absolutely trenching you. And you're like, who the fuck is
That's
this?
That's amazing.
Who's this fucking cyborg? Cunt?
See the element of competition.
It does drive you. That's it.
Anything better. We went on me and my pals years ago, went on a stag do in Prague, and there was a bar there was a bar where you sat around very much like this table in front of us, but a beer tap came up.
Yeah.
And because it was the Czech Republic, you get like liters, big fucking liters of lager, right? And it was ridiculous. I used to do a routine about it where. And it was a genuine true story where the first time I went with my girlfriend at the time, we went in and the hotel we were in had a bowling alley in the lower level, right? So it was a fucking bowling alley. And it was something like the equivalent of, because this was before Euro, certainly before Czech Republic had Euro. And it was something like the equivalent of 19 pence for a litre of strong Czech lager. So you're kind of going, this is fucking ridiculous. And then I remember going with her to another bar the next day and it was something like 22 pence and I refused to buy it because I was like, I'm not giving it to these rip-off bastards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in fucking this bar, hell. There was a tap where you would pour your own. You'd each get a glass from the bar and you'd pay for... So it was basically running on a meter almost.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd pay for how much you drank. But they were all attached to this scoreboard.
Oh, my.
So say we were table three. We would put in our names. We'd put in the country we were from. And then there was a group of English lads on a stag do at another. And it genuinely became like...
What a genius idea.
It doesn't matter if one of us dies today. We are winning this. We are not leaving until we've beaten those pricks.
What a genius.
Oh.
What a genius. Turn the competition.
Unbelievable.
They're making thousands off of pure off toxic masculinity.
Exactly. Like, but it sucks you in because you go,
oh, absolutely.
There's absolutely no way I'm getting out drunk by another table of people.
Bunch of cunts from Ipswich.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Even if I walked in just to see the score in a game, I'd have to join in. Give me a table. Myself. Try out to an entire stag. Is that guy? He's looking at us the whole time.
I think there's another one you can get on a stag do or a hen do where it's almost like an electric. It's like a vehicle where you sit four each side and there's a big table. Mm. And then they've got drinks you can pour. And it's powered by how much you drink. Essentially, if you want to keep the fucking thing going, you need to keep drinking. And they wonder why we've got problems in this country.
Stag parties. What's that other one they always do? Midget tossing.
Oh, I've never done that.
Yeah, when a midget throws you off a wall.
When a midget wanks you off.
Tossing salad. Midget salad tossing. I remember.
What did you do in your stag do? Pal's got me midget tossing. How far did you throw him? Throw him, he just wanked me off.
Well, you know, Vern Troyer is now dead, so I'll tell you how hard. I'd love to be able to do the dancing they do in it, you know?
Charleston.
The Charleston is what I was fucking trying to remember for ages, bastard. I was sitting there going, it's not the can-can.
It's definitely not the can-can.
I knew it wasn't, but I was like, Charleston. Isn't Charleston not like where all the racists went mad? That's Charlottesville. That's Pottersville.
Yeah.
That's where the Pottersville were out in.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying this film hasn't dated.
It has because chivalry is alive in it.
Yeah. Is it? Well, I suppose it is.
This dance never happened when I was in rural Ireland in a nightclub. It was more just...
Yeah.
You felt the grope.
Yeah, I suppose they are quite charming.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
It obviously dated. This is 1945. I don't think the themes have dated.
No, they haven't.
I think essentially because it is it's to get like wanky. It is essentially the American dream versus the American reality.
Yes, yeah.
Because it is one man that dreams of making it on his own and making a success for himself, but then being grinded down by the fact that it's only a certain amount of elite people that ever succeed, and every other working class person works their arse off to make sure that they profit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the essential bit of the whole film.
I liked the guy Potter by the end.
Did you?
I thought it was quite funny that he just completely...
He's a funny character.
Went out of his way completely to destroy this guy's
life. Enjoyed
the fact that there was no redemption arc.
The fact that he destroys two generations of the same family.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like...
That, I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I would have... When the... Uncle Billy at the end, when he loses the $8,000... Because I don't know, inflation-wise, $8,000 in 1945 must have been a good whack of money. Like,
I thought, if I was him, I would have looked first of all at all the squirrels and weird birds that he has around.
Yeah,
they probably did they explain that once? He's got squirrels hanging about. They might have took your fucking $8,000.
Do you know what? I didn't even notice the squirrel until this time.
I was just like.
Because I always knew he had a raven hanging about the office.
A raven and a squirrel.
But then when he's at home, a squirrel just comes up and nuzzles into him.
Oh, where's the $8,000? Did one of your fucking 100 hamsters eat the fucking thing?
Why the fuck are you cutting about like Snow White here? Like,
Fanny.
Yeah. He is a Fanny. I never liked him as a character.
Yeah, he's stupid.
I would have gone...
Stupid.
I would have gone ape shit at him for that $8,000.
He did go ape shit somewhat. I'm glad that he shouted at him and called him a fucking idiot rather than trying to...
Yeah, but then he still takes a fall for him. He doesn't throw him under the bus because that's what a nice guy he is.
Fucking piece of shit.
That's what I like about... What I like about the character is he genuinely is... There are some nasty, nasty things he does.
Yeah.
But when he yells at his kids, it's horrific.
Yes, yes.
And he is a proper tortured guy, but he still does the right thing all the time.
You know when he starts chatting her up? And she was like, wait, what age are you? And she was like, 18. And too young, too old?
I know.
I was like, too old, 18?
I know. That the ageist thing is...
Oh, so great. Oh, because most days are like, he's 27. I go, that motherfucker, he looks like her defense lawyer.
So he was 37 when he was filming this.
Okay,
and
right.
He's supposed to be playing a 21-year-old.
Yeah. I was just like, get the fuck. This is like...
When him and his brother are getting ready for the brother's graduation party... You do look at them and go, you're two grown men here. You're not even like early 20s men. You're two grown men here. I wonder why, because even up until because Grease is one of the worst films for it, where you've got like people playing 17-year-olds who look in their 50s.
The next film we're about to do?
Yes.
Next episode, we'll get to that.
But do you think child actors or young actors were just really shite? Is that why you never used them, or was there like rules that you couldn't, or like
maybe the young ones were just not as massive, so you had to get the big stars for the big movies, and I presume they're just the big ones are all right. Humphrey Bogart's going to bang a 15-year-old here. It's just what's going to happen.
Because I can't imagine a film being made now where you'd get, you wouldn't get fucking Gosling in now to play an 18-year-old or
Bradley Cooper
wouldn't be brought in, but that would be the equivalent.
Ryan Gosling and I don't know any really young actors.
Well, just anyone that DiCaprio's going out with.
DiCaprio
essentially lives the life.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a 1940s film.
He just doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't seem to deflect. It's been going on for years. You think he'd be like, I'll toss in one now. I'll toss in a 40-year-old, someone age appropriate, as they say, just to like what he doesn't. It's as if he just goes, okay, 1 year less.
He almost leans into it now.
Yeah, I feel like he leans into it now.
Even 40-year-old, I don't think would be age appropriate. DiCaprio reckons in his 50s now.
Mm. He's bound to be in his early 50s, mid 50s, I would say.
So even if he did start going out with like a 30-year-old.
Yeah, you would,
folk
maybe.
Would normally go, oh well, at least he's actually now seeing someone his own age, and you go, no, still not, still 20 years, like it's
DiCaprio should be smashing Helen Mirren then.
I'd still shag him, Helen Mirren.
I thought he said him. You still smash? What? Where? I don't like Helen Mirren.
No, Maybe not now.
Oh, well, that's
a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago. All right. Yeah. Judi Dench.
I couldn't. Not Judi Dench.
Judi Hench.
I couldn't shag Judi Dench.
All right. Cock gobbler. That's what they call her in the streets. What streets? Judy the cock gobbler Dench. Outrageous. Outrageous to completely. Do you know on the roof, by the way, you know the pool in the school when they're dancing in the pool, just the floor starts opening and there's a pool underneath and they all start jumping in, right? Can you imagine if the guy then, you know, it was like a prank, but if the guy closed the pool again and they all can't get out and everyone just slowly drowns in that pool in darkness? No, that would be...
That school exists. It's a real school.
So they were like, we'll use a real school, but the rest of the town is fake.
Yeah. Well, you can't build a school with a pool that's already there. But they didn't, apparently they don't have any towns that look like that. I'd love to. Do you know, this is why I... There's some places in Christmas films that I would love to spend time. This is one of them, Bedford Falls. I would love to have a drink in the bar in Gremlins.
Oh, I haven't seen Gremlins.
You never seen Gremlins? I nearly picked that for this year.
That's one of the big ones.
Oh, next year, right?
It's one of the big ones. I always say the two big ones I haven't seen. I've never seen a Gremlins movie, and I've never seen The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah, this disgusts me, actually.
That's weird, eh?
That'll be a good episode when we do that, actually.
Because I know the twist, but still.
Yeah, he sees dead people.
Yeah. He does, yeah. The twist is he's a pedo.
Bruce Willis is dead. the twist is Bruce Willis's head in the box.
Bruce Willis was Baby Driver all along. What? That's not even a part of Baby Driver. He was the Baby Driver all along. he's also a dodge. He's also a rapist.
Who?
The main dude from Baby Driver. Ansel Elgort.
No, is he?
Yeah, he's done.
I've never seen him in anything else, probably.
That's because of that.
So him and Spacey in the same film?
Yeah, yeah. There was a whole controversy. It was during the Me Too. I don't know what came from it or what was proven or whatever, but he's pretty much done. It was just got Baby Driver and one and done.
Jesus.
I think he was in some other dancing shit, West Side Story or some crap. But anyway,
do you not like? I tell you when I first saw this film, because if you've not seen it since you were a kid,
yeah,
then
did you go to the cinema when it came out? Paid your rations to get in.
Because I saw this when I was we both did film studies. At university.
Well, I did electives in it.
Electives. Oh, is that when you need to fill your time in?
Yeah, you know you have extra things. Yeah. I'll do something I like, so I did films. Yeah. But it wasn't really my...
I went to uni to study films.
Okay.
Because I went to be a screenwriter. And I went to Glasgow University to film and TV studies. And when I first went, it was amazing. Because our classroom was a cinema.
Nice.
It was a small cinema at the bottom of Byers Road in Glasgow. And the first week we did Batman. We did the Tim Burton Batman because there was different themes to every week. So this was like a kind of popular culture, how you market a film. And I was like, this course is going to be fucking incredible. And then the week after that, we did the Birds, the Hitchcock film. And I was like, this is amazing. And then another couple of films that were good as well. And then we did It's a Wonderful Life. The course got progressively shiter. Like I got kicked off it because it became so wanky that
it became so boring. All that deep space shit or whatever the fuck it is.
The film criticism stuff. You never actually learn anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd never seen It's a Wonderful Life, and this was the week before we went off for Christmas, and just watching it, and it genuinely properly warmed my heart.
There you go.
And added to how much I love Christmas.
Good.
And then so I've watched it ever since.
So then it's done a good job.
It has done a good job.
The fuck off for me.
I know, but you're such a hard character.
Do you know,
Ryan, you're such a like joyless heathen fuck.
I've been called heathen so much. Do you know how much of a bad, and if, do you know what, I forgot to mention this, do you know what I played once in the what? Christmas scene?
Herod.
I played Judas.
You played Judas?
I played Judas at a Christmas play at school.
You're not even part of the Christmas story.
He was when they casted me as him, they just stuck Judas in there.
Fuck,
I didn't have any lines, they were just like, you're Judas at the back.
Jesus Christ, are there other villains? You could have been the innkeeper that won't give him a room.
Ooh, booked up. Have you got the app? Booking.com.
Do you reckon if you had been more joyful in life, you'd have kept your hair?
Do you think that's what happened?
Even your hair
joyless
was like,
joyless cunt.
Getting off this fucking... getting off this miserable dome.
That's why all bald lads are really angry.
That's there are no happy bald people.
No, Stanley Tucci.
Is he happy?
Aye, man, can't sit there making,
I suppose he is,
he's
actually
making anchovies and shit in yeah. his kitchen.
I bet he's not actually bald then. I bet he's purposefully bald.
Well, they've got football hooligans, neo-Nazis.
Yep.
Angry people.
Statham.
Moby.
Yeah.
Not happy how things went after him.
No, definitely not.
Took his soul.
Yeah. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold,
yeah.
Steve Austin, for those who don't know.
Yep, an angry man.
Angry man,
very
yeah.
angry man.
Yeah, he's actually replaced glass. It's out of fortune. Now, do you know the part in the movie where, you know, they're trying to be, it's trying to be like, oh, you've thrown the stone at the old house, and they break yeah. it, and they're like, oh, you make a wish. And they're like, and he was like, what was your wish? It'd be great if she was like, she's trying to hit, because it's the 40s. Realistically, she's like, just trying to hit the black family. It's probably living in.
Jesus Christ. The black family are squatting there.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Trying to take out one of the kids.
Jesus.
That's right, what 40s was like.
I know.
So don't tell me that's
not. I think they depict that.
I think. Imagine that. I wish you would fuck off, you rapey bastard.
Do you want to know a story about that scene?
Yeah.
So Frank Capra, the director, who's.
He make the. The trainers?
he made the orangey drink. Capra Sun.
Fuck off. It's not even near.
Frank Capra Sun.
Oh, well, it is action film. Capra. Capra Fool.
In that, because he wanted the glass to break. So what he did was, it was an actual house that were throwing stones at. And this is very, very sexist, but he knew
we're not sexist.
He knew James Stewart would hit the window, right? But he had a stuntman waiting with a pane of glass that when he gave the nod, she'd thrown the stone, because they were filming them actually throwing it at the thing. So they were like, ah, she's got no fucking chance of making this, right? So when it looks like the stone should hit the glass, he would nod the stuntman and he'd go, psh. Right, and
I thought you were going to say he was going to like run after the stone.
No, but she nailed it first time, nailed it at the top window, because nobody knew she used to be a fast pitcher at high school.
Great,
yeah,
big fan of that.
Play women's baseball.
Yeah. Who is she?
Donna Reed.
Donna Reed.
Donna Reed.
I know Donna Reed.
Do you?
Yeah, it's not her, anyway.
No, I don't imagine it.
Benjamin Button did. But like,
you know someone called Donna Reed.
It's two very
your
English
age.
Names. Yeah, Donna's. There's a lot of Donnas around.
It's quite an old woman's name, Donna.
Yeah, we used to call her Prima Donna Reed. No, we didn't. But I will now if I see her. Back in those days when anything went, like we had a substitute teacher that wore makeup, and that was enough to be called Malibu Barbie for her entire. Here comes fucking Malibu Barbie, just because she put on like a tiny bit of mascara. Let me see, right? You know when he was circling the bush when she was naked?
Yeah.
Being all weird. Oh, here. So he's circling the bush. She's naked inside it. And he's like, oh, what a predicament I've got you in, right?
Yeah.
Now, a car pulls up.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys go, oh, it's your, who's had a heart attack? Your dad or son? Somebody's had a stroke. Your dad.
How's your dad die?
Your dad's had a stroke. And I was like, I would have first been like, how did you know I was on this street by this bush? In the car, and
I think that what's implied is they've been driving around, and someone probably saw him leave with Mary and went, I know where Mary lives.
Aye, he's about to get
his hole.
Yes. All right. Well, what's even funnier then is they pull up, he jumps in the car, and he turns out a bush that mm-hmm. they don't know there's anyone in, and he mm-hmm. goes, goodbye, Mary.
I just leaves her there.
And then they drive off, and they must have been like, I think he's having a stroke too. There's no woman there. They had no idea there was a woman in the bush.
That's very true. Actually.
Goodbye, Murray.
Yeah. Christ, like, oh. This thing's contagious.
Yeah, yeah. He knows. He's already had a fucking accident.
Do you see the scene where they... Because that's quite a powerful scene as well. I can't believe you don't like... The acting in this is phenomenal. Yeah,
no. Right? I liked some of the acting. Where was good, yeah.
He's so pissed off at life, right? Because his brother keeps landing on his feet. His brother goes off because he can't leave. Because the dad has a stroke, he then has to take over the family business or else it will go to Potter. So then he's saved up money to go to college. He ends up giving the money to the brother who goes to the college. The brother becomes a fucking Ivy League football star at the college, then comes back married, and then getting straight in with a job with the chick's husband, with the chick's dad, sorry. And then he's kind of sitting about going, this is fucking, when am I going to get a break here?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he walks over to Mary's house, and then there's the other dudes. He's the only guy I don't like in that fucking film, that kind of keeps going hee-haw, that prick. He's there, and he's made a millions. He's in the plastic industry, and he's made millions. And then the two of them are standing there, and... George just grabs her and starts shaking her. He's like, listen, I don't want the fucking plastic industry. I don't want to be a businessman. I don't want to get married. No way then. And then he just starts fucking getting off with her.
Aye.
But like fucking like, it's almost violent the way they do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was so, in that scene, they had to.
They had to remove him.
Because he'd never done a kissing scene at all in any film. Right, so he was really, really nervous about it. So Capra was just like, just let it run. So the two of them got so into it, right, that they just started fucking snogging the arse off each other, like proper getting in, to the point where they had to cut bits out because the censor wasn't going to give it like a U or PG rating.
Pushing her head down.
Basically fingering her. Like, I don't want the fucking plastics. I don't.
Grabbing her by the head. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Spitting in her mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Who's a dirty bitch? We're not going to be able to use this, James.
Cut, James. Oh,
how about you lasso my cock?
Oh, my God. You've just ruined this film. This is what people feel with the Home Alone
thing.
Yeah,
you fucking.
What do you want? What do you want, Mary? You want my cock?
I don't fucking die. I'll get you.
I'll lasso my cock.
I'll lasso it down. Oh, lost Christ, it in Bangkok.
That's horrible.
Die. That scene was shite.
Oh, God.
I'll lasso them in for you. Like,
no, it wasn't lovely.
What the fuck are you talking about? Like, when he tries to yad her out, remember he tries to ask her out, and he's uh-huh. like, oh, and you know, I like the feel of the grass between my toes, and then he looks up, and there's about the entire, he looks up, and the entire town's around him going,
yeah, but it's the 40s.
Well, they had nothing else to do.
If we are to forgive certain things that happened in the 40s and 50s, then we have to forgive.
You're trying to forgive Hitler.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
It's the 30s.
he did
his best work
in
the 30s.
He did. Do you know, like, that stuff about... Yeah, when he starts fucking freaking out about all this stuff and such... Oh, do you know what? You know when... you know when he's like... It's not when he's... Is it his honeymoon? The night of his honeymoon when everything goes to fuck and he's in the shacked up house... Mm. That she's all organized, and then there's his two mates just like singing outside the window for him.
Yeah,
that's fucking funny.
It's also lovely.
How is that lovely?
Of course it is.
If you were trying to do that with Amy, and me and Wah were outside singing "Who Let the Dogs Out," woo, woo. It's like, turn on the radio. They had fucking radios.
No, but that was her wish when she hit the window. That she'd get that old house. She's dressed
no,
up
I get that.
In all the posters, the places he wanted to go. She's made a nice meal. She's, to be fair to her, that thing she does where she's cooking the two chickens at the fire.
Oh, yeah.
And she's hooked up around the record player so that they keep spinning on like a spit. Yeah. That's genius.
Yeah.
That's...
put on a Prodigy record, it'll go quicker. That's not how records
what
work.
What the fuck? You...
if it's hardcore, the thing spins quicker.
Get Mixed Master Mike in.
Mixed Master. Yeah, but have fun, boy. Don't you stop.
Before we go, there are a couple of things that I don't. One thing that always, because I think the ending scene is incredible.
They would die of Legionnaires, by the way, in that house.
A lot of people would die.
Okay, can I?
A lot of people do die in this.
What?
Dark.
Oh my god! Oh fuck me! The funniest. I was in tears when that dude went off the bridge. You know, was it Clarence?
Clarence where he throws himself. Ah,
the way he falls, man.
Yeah.
Oh fuck me! I was like, I felt like Jack Nicholson in The Departed. He felt funny. He just went, whoa, and he made a help. Yeah. The roaring in 40s films is so funny. Yeah. Do you know he's abusing the kid, and she's trying to play the piano.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, daddy. Even those kids. Why don't you love me? Because you got a pussy, love. I wanted a son.
The kids look older. She looks a bit 52 as well.
She's a proper jellyhead.
See at the start when he doesn't deliver the medicine to the kid because he knows he's put the poison in it.
Oh, yeah.
So the old dude that plays Gower, the pharmacist, he was actually pissed in that scene. Right? He was just fucked up. And so George, because he saved his brother from the ice, he's deaf in one ear.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So when Gower's like reprimanding him and he fucking slaps him in the side of the head and his ear starts bleeding.
Oh, aye.
Right? I always thought that was because, that's his ear that he's done. Fucking, the guy hit the kid in real life. Like, he fucking leathered the kid. That's real blood. He basically burst the kid's eardrum.
What the fuck?
I'm like, how bad, dark is that,
the
man?
Fuck?
Like...
They're like, is that even the actor? The guy comes out of his dressing room. What the fuck's going on? Who the fuck's that? James Stewart comes out. That's my dad. Get him out of here.
It's not even the right kid.
How many levels?
He's just leather in the head.
And the guy's like, we got it on tape though. It looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. He has drawn blood.
But the ending scene, because I watched this with Isla, my wee girl, and because I was like, you don't need to watch it, because she kept asking me, what's your favourite Christmas film? And I was like, It's a Wonderful Life. She was like, what's that about? And I was like, right, okay, here's where I describe suicide. We sat and watched it, and then she didn't watch it towards the end, because I could tell, right, that there's a lot of stuff about banking in this film I forget about. And then she came through right at the end of it, and because of the last scene, I was in floods of tears. Like, fucking, I cry every single time I watch this film.
What, when they come in with all the money?
Yes, it's lovely.
All right.
It's nice because everyone comes in with the money, and everyone goes, this is how much he is. He basically, without him, there is no community. There is no Bedford Falls. The town goes to shit. Without him, nobody has a house. Without him, nobody really has a family. Without him, soldiers don't. And then when everyone comes back in, and the guy wires 25 grand, and then even the guy that are there to pick him up, to take him to jail, are handing money in, and then the bell rings.
I like that. That was nice.
Clarence gets his wings, and then he opens up Tom Sawyer, and there's a wee inscription from him. And
was it Mark Twain?
Mark Twain, yeah. Tom Sawyer was a book by Mark Twain.
I have my opinions on Mark Twain.
Oh, I thought, yeah, well.
Because, like, he wrote a quote saying, you'll never enjoy your life if you don't take the risks that you want to do. And that was just before he wrote the N-word 200 times in Huckleberry Finn. And I know that they're related. Those two things are together.
God.
Oh, I've ruined Mark Twain for you now.
I'm never bringing a nice film again.
No, it was, right, but there, look, Right. First of all, I have a couple of wee things here that
I was going to say about that scene is the only thing that ruins that scene for me because it properly warms my heart. As a person who's normally miserable all the time, it properly more. But then what ruins it for me is how bad James Stewart's singing is when they're singing "Auld Lang Syne."
Oh yeah,
he's like that classic. And I notice that anytime I'm at a religious wedding or a funeral or something, or even when we go to like the kids' shows in this, do you know when they do Christmas carols?
Yeah, yeah.
It's only then you realise how difficult it is to actually sing those songs because you don't know what to pitch it at. Do you know when you're like away in a manger?
I know.
And you don't want to come across like a cunt and go like proper like bass, like, oh. You don't want to go like that. But then if you go too high, then you start losing your voice and then it's awful.
It's like Alan Partridge. You're saying he tries to go on the karaoke and he tries to go, "Why do birds suddenly appear?"
Oh, yeah.
"Why do birds?" Yes. And he's like, "Oh, you get the point." Too high. He's trying to get the key right. He's trying to get the key right.
That is exactly it.
Close to you.
That's exactly it.
Well, you get the idea.
Our friend Barry Castagnola used to have an amazing routine about going to see Kenny Rogers at Glastonbury.
Oh, great.
And singing Islands in the Stream. And he's like, the thing about it is, start a lot lower than you think you would, because you really start to lose the... Is he basically goes like, "Ever since I met you, it was peace on earth. I've been out to meet you."
It's great.
It's so funny, Barry.
Can you imagine at the end if he had killed himself? Mm-hmm. And the town didn't know, and the town turned up with all the money.
Oh, God, that would have been... Oh, my God.
That's what I saw.
What a funeral, though. Oh.
Come in and go, he's gone.
Do you think he'd ask for it back?
He fuck left. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Oh, he's dead.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're all putting, God almighty, they're all putting money on the thing. They're like, I know you probably need the money now that he's dead.
Yeah, but it was for him. Yeah. Like, you've largely done fuck off.
You need to fuck off for Bedford Falls.
Your kids certainly haven't.
Yeah. Ugly. May I add. Ugly children.
That's very funny.
That's what I, you know, yeah, fucking hell. Do you know, he's like, you know, he's running down the street too, and he's like, oh, this shop and this shop.
Merry Christmas, you old building and law.
Yeah. But if you did it like nowadays, it's all weird buildings.
Yeah.
Oh, Foot Locker.
Yeah.
The Scientology office.
Just a shitload of necks.
I tried to do a joke.
Merry Christmas, you old tan and go.
I said it was a terrible idea to call a shop next. You may as well call it just fuck off. Isn't it though? Such a stupid next.
Gosh. Oh, and then right, you ruined this, but you've made me laugh.
Let me see. Imagine if they did that. I reckon if they did that to me, the guardian angel. Mm-hmm. First of all, I don't have a guardian angel because I had a load of placebos once, so he probably overdosed. Right. Second of all, it's so stupid. But if your guardian angel was English,
right,
he might not want to help me.
You never know. You're assuming that English people hate you as much as you hate them. Okay, and I don't think that is the case. So it might be. In your case, it might be, but...
You've got to be like, listen, Ryan. Anyway, like, if we make it there.
I think...
If he went like, Ryan, we've given you three... We've given you 10 people over your angel lifetime. We haven't given you the wings because most of them have died. But the people that have died that you were supposed to protect were English.
Yeah.
If my guardian angel was English, I reckon that's like what I was saying the last time. If I got a transplant and the heart was an English person, I'd petrol bomb myself. Yeah. So it's that type of thing. I'd know something's up.
It would be terrible if your guardian angel,
if the town thrived.
See, that's the thing.
If they showed you, it actually...
If he goes, oh my God, this is actually... Like yeah. If I tried it, if...
I don't know what you did, then, but racism would never have existed if you were delayed. You're like, what did I do?
Imagine.
You cut off a guy. He thought it was black guy.
It's like that butterfly effect thing. If you hadn't been born 9/11, never happened. Because in some way you had some...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I get taken back and suddenly Amy was, like, getting railed by some fucking gorgeous black dude just, like, living the life, like, absolutely.
Yeah, one of those names. There's no taking... Oh, Jules Valentine. What am I supposed to do here? By the way, first of all, the angel as well decided to do all this while the guy was hammered. Not an ideal time to do all this. Second of all, how fucking stupid is James Stewart? I forget his character's name. James Stewart, right? How fucking stupid is that? It takes him, like, how does he not recognize after, like, example six? He's like, what's happening? Where's my kids? No, and the angel's like, I have explained this to you 5 times. These people, you don't exist. I know he's trying to do, like, the, you know, I don't believe you.
Nah, but yeah, that would mess you up.
Yeah, but I mean, like, after episode, what do you mean my wife's not here? He goes, the same thing as the other 5 things
I just showed you.
The same thing. Can you not get this now? Yeah. I understand that you're probably having somewhat of an episode and you're hammered. Terrible time for me to do this. But, you know, fuck Clarence is what I'm saying. Clarence a piece of fucking shit. Yeah. Just... That'd be class, though. It'd be class, if you're suddenly coming back for your wife, yeah. But if he came back, and, like, his wife, has been completely reeled by the local jazz band. Daughter in the corner playing the piano in tears. What? You gotta bring me black, Clarence. Black? Oh, God.
A last fact I'm gonna give you about this. Do you know why this film became so successful?
Because there was nothing else going on.
Well, you know,
there was a world war.
So this film was written originally as a short story, and
I could see that
the guy. It was called The Greatest Gift, and the guy was trying to give it to, because this stage you couldn't really get short stories published. They would normally be sold to something like The New Yorker or something like that, and they couldn't get it published anywhere. So he eventually went, fuck this, I really like this. So he sent it out as a Christmas card.
Yeah.
To 200 of his friends. So rather than a Christmas card that year, they got their card, but they also got this short story with it. And they went, have a read of this. This ended up, one of them was his agent. His agent ended up showing it to a producer. The producer then bought this idea, loved it. Then it was made, massively flopped when it came out.
Did it?
Hugely.
This film? I didn't think that.
Cost a lot of money to make this film.
Yeah, I'd say so. It looked
great. Because of the set and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Massively flopped. No one knows why. Critically, did all right. Nominated for the Oscars. Then, the studio that owned it. So with copyright, you need to renew copyright every 16 years or something like that. Due to an admin error, whoever owned it at the time, whatever studio, didn't renew the copyright. So suddenly, from like 70 till about in the mid-90s, it was in the public domain. So TV companies in America, just CBS, cheap. NBC, would go, this thing's free. So would play this every single Christmas. I mean, they'd have it on like 3 times a week.
Nice.
Because it was free.
Nice,
and that was when the public went, this is fucking class. And then it developed this huge following. And that's how it became such a huge film.
Do you reckon that's why, like, is Harry Potter not? And that's why ITV play it all 24/7? Or Bad Girls on Channel 5?
Speed 2. Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Somebody's forgotten to renew the rights to Speed 2 Cruise Control.
We're showing it again. Every night until you fucking watch it. Do you know that I have 2 parts now that I have to bring up just before we go, right?
Yes.
Number one, the cunt that was complaining about the damage to a tree.
Yeah.
What a wank.
Yes.
My granddad grew this tree, and I'm like, well, I'd get it if maybe his granddad was buried under it and they're doing that roots thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking.
It's one of the oldest trees in Pottersville.
Yeah. probably it's hanged.
Like, you mean Bedford Falls? No, I mean Pottersville. Don't you think I know where I live? You're drunk.
That's right. Oh, that's right. If they hang, they probably hanged some dudes off it, right?
Stop with the fucking...
They hanged a couple of dudes off it. Do you reckon then, like, because you're buried underneath it, would you be trialed for manslaughter in the afterlife?
What do you think racism was in 40s America?
the worst.
It was bad, but not in all. This is clearly fairly upstate.
This is Alabama.
This is North America.
That's Alabama right there. I know Alabama when I see it.
Even in Alabama, I'm fairly certain there wasn't just racial attacks happening in every neighborhood 24/7.
I thought it was like doing the weekly shop. Go out and see a lynching. I mean, it's bad at the moment in America, so I presume it was worse in the Florida.
Yeah.
But one American thing that I found very much new that was in America, and my last thing that I have to complain about is the fact when he punches the policeman, the policeman just starts opening fire.
He does,
Start in the
don't
street.
Even think.
Two women come out of the shop. Two women hit the deck.
With like a winged.
Winged in a hook.
Full fucking belt the cop. Old trigger happy belt. Yeah.
Didn't pay your fucking tax.
Last thing I'll say is this film has one of the biggest pieces of shit in it of any character, right? And he's a very, very minor character. The guy's called Tom. I don't even think you find out his second name. When there's a run in the bank, which I never really understood what that meant.
Neither did I. I was trying to figure that out.
But I think basically what happened, remember in Iceland where all the banks during the financial crash, I think it's basically the bank goes out of business and people... quite literally
don't
make a run on the bank because they need to get their money out before the bank forecloses and before the bank basically because as soon as the bank shuts its doors that money's gone, so any money you had in there is fucked.
Yeah, because nowadays it's like insured kind of,
yeah,
but not really. They don't really,
but in those days it would probably actually be physical money as well. When that's happening, and then George Bailey uses all the money he was going to use in his honeymoon, which is $2,000, to pay people
some honeymoon he was going to go
on. Exactly. Because Potter is going to buy all their shares and all their trusts, but he's only going to give them half the money for it. And some people are going, well, half's better than none. And then George goes, right, listen, we'll run this out. We'll ride it out. We've got $2,000 here. How much do you need to tide yourself over? Right, and most people are going, $20. $20 will do me for the next
17.50. I could kiss you. Susie.
Yeah. It's a good story about that scene as well. That was improvised. She was supposed to say $17, and then Capra said to her, "Say something made up." And then because Stuart wasn't expecting it, so his reaction is completely realistic. The fucking first guy that comes in that starts demanding his money. I've got $252 in this bank, $252 in this buildings and loan. And he goes, yeah, but it's not, like, give me my money now. And he's like, no, but your money isn't here. Your money's tied up in that guy's house and his money's tied up in that guy's house. That's how a building and loan works. That's how it works in a loan kind of thing. And then when he does go, right, he'll give you your money. How much do you want to tide you over? And he goes, I have $252. And he's like, no, but how much do you need right now?
Yeah.
I want 200. You fucking piece of shit.
You like, fuck this for everyone.
Wankstein.
Yeah.
I reckon there was be some people leaving there that wouldn't have got any money because he demanded all of his.
Yes, that's what I was saying. I was like, you're the first person. You're now fucking this for everyone.
Yeah. And then even then he goes, consider that my account closed. And then James Stewart goes, no, that's a loan.
Yeah.
Like, even then, just smack the guy. Set the raven on him.
I said to
Uncle Billy just...
Two squirrels.
A whole forest of animals appear. A fucking jungle cat comes out of a drawer.
Fucking Dr. Doolittle over here. Send the cunts on.
Oh, God. Right. Well, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I thought I would... I didn't think I'd get through that. I thought you'd slag it a lot more.
No. I think it's wrong to say it's a bad film.
Yeah.
I think that's just wrong.
I'm about to fucking throw rocks to Cara and Daniel's Williams after.
I don't even think they would say it's a bad film.
No.
Just I will never watch it again.
Do you know what? I said at the start, the reason you don't like it and the reason Danny and Cara don't like it is you're all stupid.
You think
you're
it's
all thick as fuck.
No,
you're not cultured enough. You're not intelligent enough to appreciate black and white films.
Me and Daniel.
With anything that's not, it's in your face.
When I said to Daniel before we did this, what Daniel said was, oh, fuck off. He said, and I will quote him on this. He said, I'm not impressed by fire anymore. Now, me and Cara, like, really bad. So she's looking for it. She was angry only because it's a really well-known film. She was angry we did Home Alone. She wants us to do the ones that me and Cara have watched, like Christmas Breakup with Danny Glover and Denise Richards. Really bad shit. And I go, we'll get there.
Aye, we will.
You know, we'll get there. She was just like, why Home Alone? And I go, what do you mean, why Home Alone?
Aye.
You know, so we're on that type of level.
See, I like, Sloss is the worst for it.
Well, Sloss is so much horror film.
Sloss is the worst for this generational idea of anything that wasn't done in the last 5 years is just shite.
Yeah.
And it annoys me because there then will be something he'll find and then he'll go, but not this thing.
Yeah,
Kai does it as well. Kai used to go on about how older shit was. And then I got a message from Kai, say, because he'd started watching classic films, and he goes,
that was me that got him into this.
And he's like, see, to be honest, I've got to apologize because these are all fucking class.
See, Kai came over, and when Kai was over here, this was must have been like 2 years ago. Kai started mentioning these films. I made Kai watch Heat. I made Kai watch True Romance. We watched The Godfather he's never seen. We watched Taxi Driver. I watched all of them with him because he was like, I've never seen these films. And I go, well, Jesus Christ, man. You get proper into The Godfather.
But you're doing yourself a disservice.
I was like,
not watching.
Yeah, I made him watch them. He loved all of them. He loved True Romance too. It's my favorite film.
Sloss does it with.
I like a lot of the same stuff.
It's not even just films he does it with, though. He does it with music. He does it with fucking video games. It's like, why would I watch that when things are so much better now? And you're like, so much better now.
Music, he's got. I've never met anyone in my life with a worse music taste than his car. If you go in, it says Daniel's playlist.
Oh God!
And it is like 5 Ed Sheeran songs in a row.
Oh, Jesus.
Then it's 2 Warren Zevon randomly, like America. Like 2, he loves Warren Zevon.
Sloss likes Warren Zevon.
Mental. Out of nowhere. So it's just like
Ed Sheeran. Werewolf of London. Yeah, Werewolf. Zevon.
Like thinking then 2 Warren Zevon songs. And then it's like Lumineers. It's Lumineers.
The Lumineers.
It's Lumineers.
What's that? Hey.
Anything with a fucking mandolin. Mumford and Sons. A mandolin. And then it's like, you know those shit Scottish bands that are like, they're like poppy Highland music. They get like, the way I describe it is Daniel's playlist is hopeful road trip with 18-year-old girls.
Yes. Yeah.
Suicide. It's the worst music taste I've ever.
The kind of music a group of girls would play in a car before they go and get murdered in a cabin somewhere in a horror film.
No, I used to call him 13 Reasons Why.
The Lumineers. What a beautiful.
He's Lumineer fan.
Are they the folk that go, hey, I'm a
hopeful, slightly.
Oh my
fucking
God.
You know, my favorite Onion article. You ever hear The Onion? And this is a Christmas one. My favorite ever article about The Onion was Mumford and Sons buy each other mandolin for Christmas again.
Oh my God. And he has the gall. He's sitting there with a playlist with the Lumineers on it.
Lumineers.
And he has the gall to slag off this film.
Do you know what's even worse? When one song, he likes Eminem. But it wouldn't even be good Eminem, right? It'd be like rap god. Right?
Yeah.
So that'll come on and you can tell him going like, you got a badass over here. Yeah, Lumineers, Mumford & Son, Ed Sheeran. People like those kind of like Callum Beattie type of dudes and stuff like that. But he likes them because like Gareth is friends with him and all that. He does like the songs and all that. But that type of... Along the so he's got the worst music wise, definitely.
And this is your hero,
but movie wise, we love, like, I kept going to him. We both think The Longest Yard
the Adam Sandler one is like one of the best films of all time.
Well, let's do that one day.
Well, I will. It is 10 out of 10, you know? Brawl and Cell Block 99.
Oh, yeah, well, I and we can all agree that's one of them, a masterpiece. Well,
Merry fucking Christmas. We have another one to do.
Speaking of 10 out of 10, wait till you see the next film we do. Woohoo, baby!
The next film, can I just say, I have not been more excited to do an episode than the next one.
Yeah.
Because this is an all-timer.
And we're getting loose now as well.
I'm getting loosey and goosey. Inside me are two wolves.
So what are we doing?
Pretend to be goose.
In the next episode?
We are doing Schindler's... We are doing what I would describe as Britain in a little jar of cum.
That is a very, very good description.
It's Britain in a little packaged into a little Hallmark thing. That is
very good.
It is Love Actually. Mm. Who the fuck directed? Who gives a
Richard
fuck?
Curtis.
Richard Curtis. Yeah. He does a lot of shit films.
He does.
He does films that an Irish person...
Richard
Curtis. Richard Curtis watches The Crown.
The next episode might be our first ever 2 hour long or over.
Yep.
Because there's a lot to say about this film.
Yeah, I even showed you stuff before this.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see you then.
Thank you very much. I hope you non-heathens out there enjoy It's a Wonderful Life. It is a beautiful, beautiful film, and it will make you feel better about yourself and about life.
So, yeah. Or don't.
Yeah.
Just watch, you know. And next Saturday Night. Is that still going?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you very, very much for joining us over the past 6 odd months we've been doing this.
Has it so far?
Yeah.
This will be like episode 26, 27?
Yeah.
Something around that.
Yeah. So thank you very much. We hope you have a lovely, lovely, lovely Christmas. We hope you take care of yourselves. We hope Santa is very good to all of you. And we will see you in the Gooch week.
Yes. 27.
Or the Twixtmas. The ball.
Right after St. Stephen's Day.
The chin rest.
Yeah.
In between Christmas and the New Year.
No, it's not just straight up the labia. The labia of Christmas.
So, yes, happy Christmas from both of us, Absolute Cuts, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.